Boy, oh boy, I think the whole world didn't sleep last night or waited till, 7 o'clock at night and, waiting for the Jeffrey Epstein bombshell to hit. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling like what they already showed us is what they're showing us now. So it's really nothing new. Nothing new in this whole saga. So we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was funneling kids to high prominent people, businessmen, government officials, accountants, queens, royalty, you name it, he was messing with it. United States statesman, Bill Richardson there, the big guy, okay? Now, upon release of these docs, if we was to skim through the names of what they're going to entail in this whole doc release, is we'll be able to peel back the onion and cross-reference to see if any businessmen or anybody he dealt with go a little bit further into a deep dive of saying, hey, did Bob Menendez, when he was getting all this fucking money and shit, gold bricks and bullions and stuff, was he, six degrees separated some way, shape, or form to this Jeffrey Epstein? I mean, are we going to get more people, is what I'm wondering, out of the cut? Or will we able to uncover anything else bigger than what we investigated now as far as, the sexual favors, the child trafficking, and the underage sleeping with minors? So it leads us to believe that, at least me, that there's something a little bit more deeper. Now, some of the names that were released that we know about: Alan Dershowitz, Harvard professor, Bill Clinton, ex-president. We all know, we all know Bill's a creep, okay? He just likes to get head and shit like that and likes to fuck. Now, what happened was, is there's a story with him Dupree. Her name is escaping me right now. Dufresne. And I can't remember her frame, but I know Dufresne. So she and Clinton, okay? What happened was, is back in the day, Clinton wanted to buy something for Chelsea Clinton, okay, his daughter. So what happened was, is he goes up to Dufresne and says, hey, listen, let me take you on a trip to Africa. I don't know how the setting was. I don't know if they were there on the island or were they somewhere else in New York City. And, he knew that, Chelsea's birthday was coming up. He'd like to get her a nice gift. So he goes, I don't know what to get a girl in her 20s. You know what I mean? And especially she's my daughter. She gets everything. So, would you mind coming along with me to Africa and we'll go look for some jewelry? So if we dig through some of these docs, you're going to find Trip aboard the Lolita Express, at least two occupants, which would be Dufresne and Bill Clinton. There's a trip to Africa. They went down there to Sierra Leone. And this is what I mean by uncovering other shit. Now, at that time, now you got to understand that this time, when Dufresne was taken and was on the Lolita Express with Bill Clinton, and going to Africa, most likely they went to Sierra Leone, and at that time there was a big controversy. I don't know if you guys remember, it was a big controversy over blood diamonds. It was so big of an issue that Kanye West made a song about it. Diamonds are forever. Okay, and that was right around the heels of also a blockbuster movie by lead actor Leonardo DiCaprio. So here we go. This is what I'm trying to get at, is that is a froze moment in time with Bill and Gouffre. They go down to Sierra Leone in the midst of this big dime blood diamond, scandal that's going on, the songs coming out, the movies out, and all of a sudden now Bill wants to go take Gouffre there and get Chelsea a bracelet or a tennis bracelet of such with diamonds. So he wanted a woman's expertise, or he wanted a girl's opinion on it. So he went out, and they went out shopping specifically for that. Now, along with Bill Clinton, Donald Trump's name was mentioned four times. Now, here's the deal. Everybody's gonna say, "Well, yeah, well, Trump's probably a fucking this and that." I doubt it. I highly, highly, highly fucking doubt it. Because if it was out there that Trump was a Skinner, it would have already came out. It would have already came out. I mean, it would have been out. It would have been the first thing smoking out of the fucking goddamn release and pumping out of the media corporations around the world. We'll be spitting that out. Oh, Donald Trump, he's a Skinner. Da 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 da. But whose name did we hear? Prince Andrew, with his fake sweat, he can't sweat or something, because he's a fucking reptilian, for Christ's sakes. I'm surprised the guy can even fucking survive in cold temperatures. Anyway, on these names, they have numbers attached to them, how many times they were mentioned inside these new indictments. So the new doc release has exactly how many times these certain names were mentioned. Who leads the cream of the crop, I think, is Prince Andrew was like third, Bill Clinton was like second, and there was one other person. I think it could have been Les Wexner. I think he was the big guy. And then there's Jacques there, he's on there. Bill Richardson was on there. Alan Dershowitz. These are all known names we already know. Okay. Tipper Gore was mentioned one time. Now, the people that are mentioned one time, I don't want you to solely think and be biased and think, okay, when he's talking to these people, he's talking to them about kids specifically. That I don't think. The reason why I think they wanted to get a hold of Tipper Gore is because they wanted to get into a hold of Al. Because Al was, in that time, because it was the beginning of fucking the treaties as far as climate control, they wanted to get a hold of Tipper Gore because Al was fitting to make about $300 billion off this whole climate deal. Okay, so he spearheaded this whole climate thing. He was the first one to sound the alarm, and got everybody all up in arms. So he's standing to make an exuberant amount of money because now he's got every fucking treaty, his treaty in place, his alliance, and everybody's fitting to go carbon zero by 2030, 2035, max 2045, 2045, right? So whatever companies start running out these carbon taxes or trap carbon emissions, whatever it may be, I'm sure Al Gore's already got his hands in there and is fitting to make an exuberant amount of money off this whole environmental deal, because without Al, I don't think environment would have ever been where it's at today. So the fear mongering on the Democrats side hasn't lost any fervor at all. So, what they're going to do, I feel in my heart of my hearts, is that unless there's an internet sleuth, and I'm going to try to get my hands on the indictment, you go to the Freedoms of Information Act, and you can request it, but I don't know if you have to request it in the city that it took place in, and, so I don't know if that's, do you got to go to the town that she was arrested in New Hampshire and grab it from there? Or the courtroom in the court in New York City. So I still got to figure out how to get them. But once we get our hands on them, and it's going to take somebody on YouTube or something to be able to release all these other names that people are clamoring to. Now, on one part of the article I read, it was that Jeffrey, somebody has 22 days to publicly release their name, or the courts are going to do it themselves. So there is some people out there that are still trying to hide their names, okay, and they really don't want to be associated with this. Now, I'm sure starting the first day from the new year, a lot of attorneys were on the horn with a lot of prominent people figuring out how exposed they're going to be from this little black book. And these are names that were redacted that are now getting unredacted and put forth to the public. Now, like I said, if there's nobody other than a YouTuber comes out with the whole 930-something pages it is for this whole indictment, all right? There is a huge criminal case coming down the pike. It's going to involve Ghislaine, and it's going to involve some other people. The best thing that Prince Andrew was to do was to settle that lawsuit with Griffey, because it would have left him more exposed. Shut that case down, get it closed. That's why here it's over. There's nothing more that they can go forward with. You know what I mean? So he's kind of stopped the buck there. So that, nobody's going to open that Pandora's box as far as what I keep messing up this girl's name. Griffey. And it's going to be interesting, because some dynasty, other than the names that we know, who's going to be out there. I mean, can you imagine if you flew on his plane? You know, I mean, Tipagore's sitting there like, I'm related to, you know, I'm getting acquainted with this prick. And all he wanted to do was find out, you know, what fund's holding our money. You know what I mean? And speaking about money, folks, my God. The endowments that some of these colleges hold are insane amount of freaking money. Insane amount of money. I mean, there's so much money that they have that I don't think the school could spend it all in its entire fucking existence. I mean, it's good enough money to run for the next 200 years. It's got that much money. If not longer. So, along with Tippa, Al, Bill, we're going to see some people running around doing some weird, crazy things. So as long as we keep an eye on the people that we've already known that's in this black book and start looking there, and then also, like I said, that those particular moments in time where going to Africa, getting blood diamonds, I would love to know if, you know, did Bill have any type of, you know, connection to some type of diamond mine out in Africa? Or let's just say it was a diamond mine or African rebels that he talked with or something. I mean, is this something in the cards that would show us that he might be affiliated with that? Because, you know, he is a prominent president, okay? And you understand this, right? They still have their security with them 24/7, even when they're out of office. So he gets out of office, and you know what? I don't know if he was still in office at that time. But in any event, if he was in office, it would be much more detailed information about this trip that him and Griffey had. So with that being said, is that now we need to. So if he was out there on his own private accord, he still has Secret Service security with him. Hey guys, welcome back. So yeah, whether he was in and out of office doesn't really matter, because the thing is he's still gonna have security detail with him. Regardless, and they get paid. They still get paid six figures. I think $185,000 when they're out of office presence. They can still continue to still get paid, and they still get the Secret Service protection. Now, you know, it might be as robust as it was when they were first in office, but it's a security detail nonetheless. So here you go. Here's an ex-president, you know, traveling to Africa, a dangerous country in itself, right? He's got a security with him, but yet it's not the whole United States security apparatus. But it's pretty good, right? So he still goes out there, and whoever was with him during that trip, as far as Secret Service. If some of those Secret Service agents are either still working or some of them not, I'm sure they probably signed a lot of NDAs to not talk about this trip that took place. Who else was on the plane? The pilots, okay? Yeah, they have NDAs. The stewardesses, they got NDAs. I'm sure everybody has an NDA that dealt with them. But, you know, the cream of the bullshit is really going to come from any type of house sitter or maid, butler, things like that. They would be really the ones that hold all the, all the information cards, if you will. But you, the world, myself included, we are really looking forward to finding out. So I think they're going to release this stuff in batches because, like I said, They are giving people's names, the people that's names have redacted, some time to either say, look, you're going to have to come clean and you got to, whatever they have to do. They give them a little warning. And some people have to, I don't know if legally, I don't know how that works, but some people have a certain amount of time to get their name release so they can release it. I don't know. I forget exactly how I read that, but it was something to the point where some person, she had X amount of days to make her name available for the records. I don't know. It was something to that effect. But boy, the whole world watches and gasps, and it's about time because this lady said, if it was anybody other than these two people, they would have been under the fucking gulag by now. You know what I mean? It would have never taken this long to figure out this or figure out that. And it, would already been taken care of. But for some reason, the rich, they get their own little ways, I'm telling you. So moving forward, I'm going to talk about Claudia Gay. That's the Harvard president that was on Capitol Hill and was getting grilled by Senator Stefanik over her answer for Islamic anti-Semitism, a precursor, if you will, for calling the genocide of Jews is a hate speech. And Claudia sat up there and she, gave lawyerish answers as far as, it all depends on what context it is, this, that, and if the context turns into violence, then yes, it is, and all this other shit, right? Well, ever since that day, there's been a lot of billionaires that had said, listen, I'm stopping giving any and all monies to Harvard for their endowments. And so the latest billionaire to say, fuck you, to Harvard, which is its own alma mater. And these people, realized what they did. They paid to play. They received the bounty of paying to play when they was a kid going to college. So now they repay that college by saying, here, I got billions of dollars to give the school that gave me, access to this world and this lifestyle and the education to be able to obtain this wealth, I'm going to give back. So a lot of these universities have their sugar daddies, and they're all billionaires. And, Claudia Gay sits on an endowment at Harvard of $750 billion. $750 billion Harvard has to play with. Okay, so the school's never going to go down. All right, and these are donations that are coming in from people. So there's been about a good handful of billionaires that said, "Listen, I'm not gonna applaud Claudia Gay, and until Harvard starts getting its shit together, I don't think I can even give them another dollar until we start recognizing what is hate speech, what is not hate speech, and it shouldn't take somebody as elite as Claudia Gay and her academics and intellectual property that she has upstairs in her brain to fucking formulate some kind of sentences that make no sense and utterly just bullshit wordplay." And she still sits on the board So as she continues sits on the board, Harvard continues to lose money. Now, with $750 billion in the kitty, is Harvard going to stand by this lady? Or are they going to face facts and say, "Hey, look, we have a situation that we got to clean up." And obviously, you know, Claudia, you know, Claudia's going to be like fucking what Devaney was to Bud Light. You know what I mean? What Devin Mulvaney is to Bud, what did to Bud Light, is what Claudia Gay is about to do to Harvard. Okay? And if it wasn't for Harvard having the endowment of $750 billion, I think they would have released her and had her resign in a flash. But where they sit on so much fucking money, they really wouldn't have to do any type of fundraising efforts. God, for probably the next 10 years. You know, now granted, you know, this is a school that helps with vaccines and things of that nature. Also, they have CPAs and hedge funds that manage this money. Okay, so a lot of this money that they have is in the stock market. And they take that money and that's how it grows. Excuse me, I'm just lighting up. It's a little wake and bake. If you're with me, happy 420 to everybody. It's Thursday morning. We're just getting into the weeds. We are on the precipice of having hundreds of names exposed to us as far as Jeffrey Epstein's little black book. You know, we're also shedding light on Claudia Gay's, which is the president of Harvard, and if she's gonna still remain on the board. And this billionaire, I think it's Steve, Bill, it's either Bill Ackerman, Bill Ackerman, he's done. He ain't gonna give them another penny. He says, "Yeah, you want another penny? You better start thinking right." At first, I would fight, and he wants everybody on the board fighting. He feels that the institution's really making a grave mistake, and which it is, which it really is. Do you know what I mean? It really is. And so, not only that, but what you're really starting to see, and I'm sure the reason why, Joe is being controlled by the people he's being controlled by, and this is how the Democrats lead themselves, is because if one doesn't think like the other or goes full bore with the other as far as ideology or sentiment or agreements and things like that. So we have this Hamas and Palestinian war. Israel and America have tight bonds. So what happened was is that there must have been some type of... I'm sure somebody in the administration that just recently left said, "Look, we don't want any more support going to Israel fighting Hamas." So as of recently, I think of last night or the day before, there's been two officials that in the administration that has signed their resignation letters in response to the Hamas and Israeli war. So I'm sitting to myself and I'm like, okay, so you're willing to resign over this, right? So the president made you believe that he was really for the Palestinians, right? So much so that you thought you could overshine you thought you could tell your boss what to do. And now they think that they're so so much, these people that leave, they think they're so much heavyweights politically that they were going to leave, and the president was going to say, oh, all right, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Trying to fucking hostage tie the president up as far as, you know, money and things. So the latest round of support that went to Israel, I'm sure there was a few people in that administration that was really not wanting any more money going to Israel. And then next thing you know, what was it? Boom. What happened in fucking Beirut? One of the Hamas leaders has a fucking rocket go right through his fucking living room. Hi, TiVo this. Bang. So now, they're like, that's it, I'm gone, I'm done. So, you know, I guess I'm happy about it. You know, I'm glad that somebody in that administration has left that was solely on the sides of Palestine and couldn't understand, you know, Israel side of it. And decided to resign over the shit. I would have never resigned over the Palestinian conflict because, one, you're not living in Palestine. Two, you have to do for you. And three, now that you need a job, I don't go to Palestine and see if you can get go into the H&R department of Hamas, since they're such a bodily organization and do such good for the people of Palestine. Might as well just get into the H&R department there. Go ahead, put in your resume. And on top of it, just say, hi, big bold letters, infidel looking for employment with Hamas. See how that goes. Matter of fact, tell me if one of your kin can let me know how you've been. Because I'm sure you ain't going to be able to return that phone call. So now shifting back to Claudia Gay, there's a lot of people, in, I'm sure, in her administration that are seeing the ways that this person seen it, that resigned recently from the White House. Claudia Gay is going to find herself slowly and vastly out of a job. You can't expect to play with the white boy's money, but not go along with the white boy's deal. Okay? And if we want to use the notion that, for the sake of argument, that, you know, Jewish people run the world and all that jazz, then Claudia Gay would know better than to not fucking say anything other than nice things about Israel just to be able to sit on that seat. So I'm sure now with all the political pressure that's coming down the pike, and this story's been out for a while, it's not going away. It's not going, I mean, she's been up, and she was up in front of the Congress, I want to say, 3 weeks ago, but this is probably over a month plus long. And they're still going with it. And you see, it's just a slow drip of donors backing out of Harvard and some of these other elite schools in the world. And, you know, honestly, all that's going to benefit is the black colleges. It's gonna help charter schools, because what people are gonna start to do is say, okay, look, we can't let these kids get all, you know, coddled up into this new way of thinking, if you will. So what we're gonna have to do is start putting those monies into charter schools. Maybe opening up the requirements to enter a charter school. Is there any type of payment plans they can get on there, along with any kind of rebates incentivize them. You know, hey, you buy a fucking electric car, you're gonna get a tax break from the government, and you get and it'll allow your kid to get first dibs in the charter school. And there was this one cool story, speaking about charter schools. I don't know if you guys seen it, but he's a wide receiver out of Pittsburgh. He was a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and his last name is Golden. And I don't remember his first name, but this is the stuff. These are the stories that should be saturated in the media. So this gentleman, Golden, he plays 6 years Steelers football. You know, makes himself a few dollars. These are the no names that you don't hear about, you know, that, that only last a few years in the league. And, you know, they made a few bucks, now they're out, and they're doing what they got to do. That's why your parents will tell you, always stay in school, regardless if you're doing sports or how much you love sports, this, that. Always get an education so you have something to fall back on. So Mr. Golden did exactly that. He played 6 years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he left, and then he started opening up his own charity, which then helped him create a charter school. So now he has a charter school, right? And he only had like kindergarten to, or maybe like pre-K to like sixth grade and stuff. But now he says he has a full charter school from, you know, from kindergarten to high school. And he has, he's either about 300 to 600 kids in this charter school. And he says that he's got request letters going, he's booked for 3 years. So there's people clamoring to get into this guy's school. And, you know, what he does, this is all off donations, all off his own money, all off his own back. His name's Mr. Golden. I can't remember his first name, but his last name's Golden. He has Golden Charter. It's Golden Charter Academy. And this academy's out of, I want to say Atlanta, Georgia, I think. It's in Georgia somewhere. If it's not Georgia, it's Alabama. But what this gentleman is doing is really something nice. I mean, giving kids an opportunity to learn and learn good and get the right education that these kids need, because he sees the kids are our future. Let's face it, you know. And the more we suffocate them with ideologies that we want them to have, is dangerous, you know. And so, you know, you have people like this, and that's only one. Just imagine if we had fucking 10 of those, 10 Goldens in each state doing this. I mean, you'd have a flurry. And here's a guy that played only 6 years, probably made himself, after he's fucking paid his agent off, and injuries and medical price bills and shit like that, he's probably only made, you know, a couple $1 million. I mean, it's not like he probably got a couple year contract, like maybe 30 million, but he's got to pay half of that to his fucking to his agent. So there goes 15. Then he's got to live for this next 6 years and running around this, that. He got no endorsements. So what I'm saying is that the small peanuts, or millions of peanuts that he's playing with, just imagine with it, what Jay-Z could do. Just imagine what Tom Brady could do. Just imagine with any of these guys, Edelman, fucking Cam Newton, you know. I see Cam Newton on YouTube smoking a cigar with Charleston White because he wants to still stay relevant. His YouTube channel is doing millions and millions of friggin' views. You know, and I know Cam does charities. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these guys are not have philanthropist ways. They do. It's just that I feel that there's sayers and there's doers. Do you know what I mean? Like, Cam Newton most likely has some charity, but you know what? At the end of the day, does it really matter? Yeah, he might go and do some appearances to drum up some more support or for donations. When you have a guy in Atlanta, like, you know, done with football, solely working 24/7, getting up at 7 a.m. to benefit children's lives. You know what I mean? That he makes his number one premise. Cam wakes up and he wants to smoke a cigar and fucking and think about who he's gonna have on for his next podcast, and in his white robe goes downstairs. Somebody's eating him, you know, making him some fucking egg whites and asparagus and shit. Like, come on, man. Like, you are not for what you say you are. You might think you are, and you might feel like you're doing something right because you're just trying to hide all the guilt and keep the fucking your brain from talking to you. That's fine, but you and I both know you're about as shallow as Diddy. And Tom Brady, the money that he makes, I mean, he does a lot of stuff, but I just feel that if they made a coalition and you had these guys really making a sincere, serious effort on helping kids, my God, we would be helping kids, okay? It's like you talk about an addict. If they want to get fucking clean, they will go get clean. There's no pussyfooting around it. You know what I mean? You want something, you're gonna go get it. Action speaks louder than the words, and that is 100% fucking true. Okay? Actions speak louder than the words. So now, going right back to Claudia Gay, I'm watching, and you gotta listen to this lady, Christina Ramirez. I don't, I can't, I, I'm not even gonna attempt her middle name because it's crazy. But she'll be on the show with Kanye Wentworth, LZ, somebody. So I was flipping through the channels and I seen it and I started listening to her and they were talking about Claudia Gay. And remember how we were talking about how, they make it as the Democrats don't even want they take all black people's hard work, going to school, waking up, doing their thing, responsibilities, putting their nose to the ground, just like Claudia did. You got to give her credit. She did what she had to do. Not because she was black. You know what I mean? They're saying that Harvard wants to give her a seat because she's the first black chairman of the board of Harvard, right? Oh, so none of her fucking her educational fucking accomplishments has anything to do with her being on that seat. You would have gave it to anybody that was, hey, if you had a if you could if you had if you was graduated from Harvard and you were black, we're gonna give you a seat. You know what I mean? That's what people want to do, and that's what other Democrats want to do. But if you would have asked her, she'd say, "Listen, I went to school. I did what I had to do. There was plenty of nights I didn't go to parties. I stayed home. I studied. I did what I had to do, and I sacrificed a lot in my teenhoods to be who I am now in my 30s and be ready to fucking retire at any given time and go to a beach and live off the rest of my life without having to do another fucking thing. And I've made millions and millions of dollars doing this. Not because I'm black, because I'm fucking smart and I fucking did what I had to do." Okay? But Claudia won't even come out and defend herself on that, but she'll go out and defend Palestine, hate people and fucking Nazis that want to kill fucking Israelis and not say, oh, that's not hate speech. You know what I mean? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. Shit like that could start an insurrection in Harvard. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, these are the things, these are the stupid social norms that Democrats want to play on, right? So, for example, Christina Ramirez gets on and she says something like this. Check this out. Oh my God. Do you see what I'm saying? It's you hear her say, oh, well, it's not this, it's not that. This is a political hit job, not done by her peers, but by bigots and shit, by and people that don't want to respect that she was the first black president of Harvard. Do you see what I'm saying? It's clear as day. She doesn't know exactly. She just doesn't know exactly what she said. You just tore. You propped her up to tear it down all in one fucking statement. Okay? You said these were comments not done by her peers and academic colleagues alike, which is wrong. What do you want them to say to her? What do you want them to say? On the contrary, that is wrong. What she agrees on, that is wrong. But it seems that Christina doesn't want you to say anything bad, because if you want to challenge her on what the statement that she said in Congress, now you're fucking disrespecting her of being the first black president of fucking of Harvard. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't with these people. I mean, there is no, I mean, it's literally no fucking win with them. You know, if you were to talk to that lady Christina and tell her, she'd say, well, no, sorry. You know what I mean? And Christina will want to admit that maybe Claudia benefited from affirmative action rights. And that's how she navigated through college. Now, let me point you a scenario, and this will sum up my whole point right here once I get done with it. If Christina Ramirez has a child, okay, and child is in the same age group as Claudia Gay's child, okay, and they're two women, prominent, 100% scores, best geniuses, SATs, all that, like they're bar none. They break even at the top. All right, there's no one's better than the other. Okay. Now they go to Harvard and they all want to get in there, right? Well, Claudia Gay used to be the president, and you know Christina is just a lady that was able to pay the tuition fees, and the kid did what they had to do to make themselves get there. So now they want to get into Harvard. Well, Harvard says, "Well, geez, we only have one space left, and we're gonna give that to Miss Claudia Gay's child." And they're gonna look at Christina and say, "Because affirmative action, because you're Spanish, and there's a lot of Spanish coming in, and you know, or whatever, whatever, and we have an affirmative actions and rights, and we're gonna give it to Mrs. Claudia Gay's child." Do you think Mrs. Ramirez would understand, or do you think she'd say, "That's not fair"? Do you know what I'm saying? And she'd tell you now, because the situation is not unfolding right in front of her that I just pointed out, she'll say to the contrary, "Oh no, I would understand that it's going like that," which is bullshit, because in actuality she knows she wouldn't, because it's not fair. Common sense wise, it's not fucking fair. So what I'd say if I was the president, I'd say, "Well, here's the deal, ladies. We only have one spot. We only have one spot, unfortunately, open. And two of you are very, very, very highly qualified young ladies to take this student seat. So what I'm gonna do, to make it fair, is I'm gonna have you guys take one more test, okay? And whoever scores highest on this test will eventually get the admittance into Harvard, okay? To me, that's fair. Other than to say, well, you know what? I'm gonna take the cherry roll or cherry oak wood, because we have an agreement with the cherry oak wood other than the regular oak. Do you know what I mean? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. You can't favor people. Okay? And this is what I'm saying, is that like it starts to get confusing, because this is how the Democrats move. They bite off one side of the pie, and they bite off the other side of the pie, knowing that they bit off the other side of the pie, and then they'll go back to the left side, start eating, and they'll go to the other side and say, "Well, who took a bite out of that pie? You did." "No, I didn't." "Yes, you did. It's just you don't remember." So they don't remember, you know, all the shit that they say beforehand. You know what I mean? That, you know, Claudia Gay didn't get her job just because she was a fucking black. She got it because she was smart. But according to the Democrat Christina, she got it because she was black. So totally stripped her of all her education, all her hard work, all her parents' hard work, the money that went into it, all those sleepless nights studying for SATs. Totally fucking totally robbed Claudia of that by saying exactly what she said at the last point of the interview. Matter of fact, let's just go through it one more time. Don't believe all the smoke and mirrors. This is a political hit job. Wow. Of the first female black president of Harvard. She just totally gave it to her, just like they give it to the press secretary, Karim Jean-Pierre. Oh, I'm the first gay secretary of the United States. Who gives a flying fucking fuck? I don't care that you scissor another chick in the sheets at night, KGP. I don't care. I could care less. I just want you to deliver the fucking goddamn statements correctly, timely. And I mean, is that all too hard to ask? And fairly, and just, and just report what's going on behind the scenes in the fucking administration. I don't need you to take any sides. I don't need you to have sides. You're not supposed to have sides. You're supposed to just fucking tell the fucking people what's going on, the American people. And you had the fucking media on your side, and now they're not on your side because they can see how bad you deflect every question. But oh, wait a minute! Don't give her any goddamn. Don't say that way. No. She's the first black fucking press secretary. You got to know that. Oh well, motherfucking God, oh my me, Jesus Christ! I should have realized. Let me fall back into a K hole. Do you know what I mean? Like, it may, this is ridiculous. But the Democrats are gonna eat themselves. Is closer and closer as we get approach to this election. Now, if they're gonna throw a fucking bag upon oatmeal brains up there and say, yeah, he's gonna be the nominee, great, that's fine. Let's just get it on. And you can see that he might be their leader, and he might be their leader coming this time around. And the only re and I'll tell you the reason why. Let me just take one second. I gotta get to work in like a few minutes. He's gonna he might be their nominee because now all of a sudden, what are we seeing a spike in? Or at least they're saying there's a spike in. COVID related sicknesses, respiratory functions. There's mask mandates now taking place. I know in Massachusetts they're initiating a mask mandate. I don't know about New Hampshire. I think it might be just, because we're a red state, so they might say it's up to your own, it's up to you still. There's no, totalitarian fucking regime out here yet. So there's a up, oh shit, there's an uptick in that. I know I shouldn't know it. There's an uptick in that, and at least they say. And so it looks like they're putting in the little pillars that they need to put in to get Joe Biden elected again. And that's to hide him in the basement, have him fucking recuperate, get his energy back. He won't have to campaign, and he can save his energy for the next 4 years that we're gonna dole through him because we're just fucking because we don't care about this old man. We just need to get our agendas through. So with all these little mandates going on, the vaccines are getting pushed. And by the way, the vaccines are not getting covered by insurances no more. So now that they're not getting covered, a lot of people are finding out, like, oh, hey, what the fuck? Shit. They're going running into, and here's another thing, which is weird. Here's a little caveat. Ask yourself this one question. Why isn't the doctors administering the vaccines? Why aren't doctors, PhDs, and nurses alike taking the initiative to vaccinate people? Why aren't they doing that? So what they're doing is that they're leaving it up to the pharmacies. You're not going to be able to go to a hospital and get a vaccine, I don't think. Well, at least I know in our area, they're making the pharmacies deal with them. Okay, now what they're going to say, I think, is to say, okay, well, reason why we're doing this is because we need to free up this the hospitals are so short-staffed and our medical teams that we have to take the burden off them and put it onto the pharmacists, okay, and they'll be able to take care of it. And then also, transmission will stay relatively low due to the fact that, again, you know, a lot of them will be, you know, ushered over to a pharmacy instead of a hospital where we could have people coming in all the time, and then we become like the super carrier of COVID. So they're going to put it on that side, when in all actuality, if you look at it, brass, and sometimes the simple answer is just the simplest answer. If a doctor who or a nurse who takes a Hippocratic oath like Nightingale to administer help to anybody who needs it at any given time, regardless of who they are, how much they make, or their race, or color, or creed, they help people, right? That's least what they do. And you can see that when there's people dropping dead in the middle of a fucking, you know, McDonald's, and they need the Heimlich, and, oh, there was a nurse on scene that gave him the Heimlich, and that was the one thing that saved him, and, you know, pushed the grimace shake right out of a guy's stomach, and everybody turned evil, and next thing you know, fucking the nurse was dead, and then the Among Us came out, and the imposter shot everybody dead, and now we got a fucking problem. When it's only just that the doctor, so if a doctor will do that in the middle of the public, why wouldn't they want to give a vaccine? Now that's had 4 years to get its shit together, really iron out any type of, iron out some issues, really hone in and dial in on the vaccine part, right? Maybe you wouldn't have to get two of them. You might not have to get boosters this time. You might just need to get one. Why are you still getting vaccines? I have not a clue. Yeah, a vaccine is fucking one. I didn't get 10 measles, mumps, and rubella shots. I got fucking one. I got one. Right? So the simple reason why the doctors won't administer the fucking COVID is because they don't want to be on the hook for when it comes down the pike, when a lot of these people start to see some serious, serious fucking side effects. And we're starting to see that now, because all of a sudden, unbeknownst to everybody, we got 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds dropping dead like fucking flies over illnesses that make no sense to anybody. Boggle their mind. Health. Healthy as horses. Fucking croaking. Dropping dead. Okay? And the doctor says, hey, listen, you did that one time to me by giving me this fucking poison to inject in people. I'm not doing it again. Shame on fucking you. Shame on you to have me do it. I'm not losing my license and getting a lawsuit from this family to fucking say, hey, I fucking am now on the hook because I administer Pfizer's fucking vaccine into their arms that killed their loved one. Oh, no, 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 no. Especially when you can give it to kids that are 5 years old. You think doctors are going to take that type of responsibility? No. So somebody knows something. Somebody knows something that these fucking vaccines ain't good. And we now we're getting a good hint, not only for the stuff that we can see happening, that we know it's clear as day, but the real small moves and little things that are people doing, like doctors not administering these vaccines because they don't want to be on the hook for their license and not being able to practice medicine anymore over a vaccine that they knew from the fucking get was fucking bad. Because, listen, they know better. They know better. You can't take these proteins. Certain proteins can change DNA. These certain proteins are changing DNAs, okay? And they're like tracking the fucking, they're tracking like to see what groups of people are more susceptible to diseases. This is all about eugenics, people. If you get that, if you think about it, it's all about eugenics. So if you start, so they say, well, what is it? The Jews or something? This, that? No, 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 no. You fucking moron. Just hear me out. Eugenics in itself, to make it's almost on Hitler's idea. But to do this, you have to do these. You have to release these RNAs or mRNAs or whatever they call them. Put the vaccine into them, okay? So this will help identify to researchers whenever they go back into a fucking hospital and they do something that you don't know, whether when you were out on the Novocaine or whatever, or just the regular data that they have, they'll be able to determine, okay, this is that, this is this. Now we know that, you know, hey, people in the northern part of Iceland, they weren't getting susceptible a lot. You know what I mean? There was transmissions, but a lot of people didn't get sick, and the vaccine wasn't dispersed much out there. This group was more susceptible, Spanish, or, you know, Ethiopians, Africans, you name it, you got it. This is what they're doing. You know, they're finding out what what nationality and what genes were susceptible to the COVID. Now, you can't take proteins and stick them in people and change their DNA. It's just fucked up shit to do, right? So, you know, there was usually like, I think there's usually like three proteins on a code or something. Now they want to stick a fourth one, you know what I mean? And they're restructuring shit. I don't know all the scientific hoopla over it, so I do sound like some kind of conspiracy theorist, and this is why we all sound like conspiracy theorists, because we don't know what the fuck we're really talking about. But we know in the heart of our hearts that something's not right, right? So that's the thing. At the end of the day, I just sit with the fact that, like, look, I'm not taking this vaccine, and I got a lot of health complicated. I have something in my, I'll tell you, and I'll be frank with you, I have no spleen. So I have, and I have to get quick done with this. I have no spleen. And so that means, like, you know, vaccines, they come in my system and they'll go. So I go to get my physical probably 3 years ago, and she goes to me, she goes, "You had your spleen removed." I says, "Yeah, I did." And she goes, "Do you know that you have to, you should be," t she goes, "Have you taken vaccines?" I says, "No." She goes, "Your doctor hasn't regulated, you know, vaccines for you all through your life since this happened?" I says, "No." She goes, "Oh my God." She leaves the office. She goes, "Let me, I'll be right back," right? She comes back in with a piece of paper. She's got a baker's dozen of how many vaccines she wants me to take that day. I says, "Are you out of your mind?" I says, "Ma'am, I'm not taking these. I'm not taking all these. You're out of your fucking mind." She goes, "Well, you know, your liver and your spleen, they wash that all out. They might not be as potent." I says, "Great." I says, "Good." I says, "That's good." She goes, "Well, that makes you more susceptible." I says, "Ma'am, I haven't had the fucking COVID since." I says, I had a cold, and I says, "And that's probably the COVID, because in my mind, all the symptoms that you get from COVID is a fucking cold. So yeah, I had a cold, but I haven't been sick like that in a long time. I'm just getting over a cold now. So I had one cold last year, and a cold this year. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they were a little hard to shake and shit. You know, I'm still stuffy and whatnot. Probably turned into sinusitis. So I could use an antibiotic, but that's it. Do you know what I'm saying? And people are getting a common cold, and they're running up to the fucking hospital screaming, "I got COVID, I'm fucking dying." Do you know what I'm saying? Because they're scaring people, and it's not good. And so that's why doctors are saying, look, if doctors ain't touching the fucking thing with a 10-foot pole, neither should you. That's my whole take on it, is it neither should you. But listen, folks, I gotta go. Happy Thursday. I'll catch you on the next one. I love you all. Peace.